Well, please be seated and open up your Bible to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2 is where we are this evening. Maybe you've related to a circumstance like this where you're traveling and maybe you're in a hotel room or you're at somebody's house and your clothes have become rather wrinkled upon transit and you find yourself without an iron. What's that? Hold on. Is that better? Check 1, 2. Testing 1, 2. Okay, perfect. That's why she's my helper. Right there. She just never takes a break. It's awesome. It's so helpful. Okay, you guys can hear me? Perfect. I can hear myself. This is great. So you're traveling. Your clothes are wrinkled, all right? And you're without an iron. What do you do? Okay, life hack. Turn the shower all the way hot, hang your shirt on a hanger, put it in the bathroom, steam. It's not really that effective, I've tried. Or what else do? You wet your hands and then you wet your shirt. You try to get the wrinkles out, right? It's just not the same. You need an iron in those moments or one of those cool little steam things, right? Okay, another example. You may not be able to tell this just simply by looking at me, but I don't fit in small spaces easily. And when I was working on some cabinets, I needed to kind of maneuver myself in with the power drill and screw this screw in. And I was just having a difficulty. And so I went to Lowe's, one of the most likely many trips for me doing anything handy in the home. It usually requires at least 5. And I come to find out that they make right angle, I don't know what they're called, bits or something. So you put it in your power drill, and it comes out, and then it goes right angle. And when you pull the drill, it spins this way. Okay, have you seen this? It's a life changer, okay? Because you could, instead of like contorting yourself, you just, and it goes. It's excellent. All right. Having the right tool for the job, the right instrument for the need, is crucial. It makes all the difference. Every task that you do in life, it's just night and day difference if you have the right tool for the job. Well, listen, as followers of Christ, it should be our ambition to please the Lord in everything, to be useful for his purposes, to be the right instrument that he would be pleased to use for his glory. As a church, Gilbert Bible Church, we should aspire and we should long to know what can we intentionally pursue and cultivate in our lives so that we might be useful instruments for the Lord's purposes. Well, tonight in our passage, we actually see from God's word useful instruments for the purposes of Christ. And we see it through example, through two different examples. And tonight we're going to look at the first one. So let's read our passage together. We're going to read chapter 2, verses 19 through 30. However, tonight we're only going to get through verses 24. And then next week we'll pick up in verse 25 and finish up the chapter. But just so that we can see the flow, let's read all the way from verse 19 through verse 30. So Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 19, Paul says this: "But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus, but you know, not of those of Christ Jesus, but you know of his proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. Therefore, I hope to send him immediately as soon as I see how things go with me. And I trust in the Lord that I myself also will be coming shortly." And then for next week, but we'll continue reading, verse 25. "But I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and minister to my need. Because he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick to the point of death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I have sent him all the more eagerly so that when you see him again, you may rejoice and I may be less concerned about you. Receive him then in the Lord with all joy and hold men like him in high regard because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service to me. Well, in our passage this evening, we see four distinguishing marks of a faithful servant for Christ. Four distinguishing marks of a faithful servant for Christ. And in verses 19 through 30, we see two individuals. And from those two individuals, we're going to make four observations regarding their virtue, their character that sets them apart as especially useful for their Savior. Useful, faithful servants for Christ. So four distinguishing marks of a faithful servant for Christ. And these virtues that we're going to observe are found in two different people. The first is Timothy in verses 19 through 24, as I mentioned, and that's what we're going to look at this evening. And then next week we'll see Epaphroditus in verses 25 through 30, and we'll see the third and fourth virtues of the faithful servant for Christ next week. Well, it's important to remember, Paul began with his first instruction, and we've repeated this several times, in chapter 1, verse 27, calling the Christian to walk in accordance or worthy of or in keeping or in balance with the gospel of Christ. And this is expressed through selfless, sacrificial service, faithful service of others for the sake of Christ and the progress of the gospel going forth. That's what Paul has been concerned with throughout this letter. Paul put forth Jesus as the supreme example of this kind of selfless, humble, obedient, loving manner of living. And then in light of that, he gave specific instruction for how to live unified, humble, loving lives for the sake of Christ, working out your salvation through continued unified living where you shine in stark contrast with the world. You're content before the Lord. You're unified with other believers. And now we come to a passage that might be easy to blow past as simply addressing logistical matters with his immediate audience. You might be tempted to think this doesn't much apply to us. However, that is absolutely not true. Well, what is revealed in this text is incredibly profitable for us, and what is not taught in commander theology is actually taught through exemplary models that are put before us of faithful service and unique usefulness in light of these unique virtues. Paul has done that already by looking to the example of Christ Jesus. He spoke briefly of himself in chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, when he talks about himself being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice of the Philippian service. And in our passage tonight and for next week, we'll see Timothy and Epaphroditus. And then in chapter 3, we'll make a turn. We'll get a more in-depth look into Paul's life and the infinite treasure that it is to know and to live for Christ above everything else that could possibly offered or be attained in this life, in this world. For the believer, there's a comforting, emboldening reality that is demonstrated in our text. You see, every one of us who has been redeemed by the blood of Christ is useful for the body of Christ. Each one of us who has been redeemed by the blood of Christ has purpose and intention given by God for the benefit of his work in this world. God's wisdom is on full display in the reality that none of us is ultimately a big deal or irreplaceable, and each one of us is uniquely useful for the benefit of the body of Christ. Both of those things are true and coexist wonderfully simultaneously. So the question is, how, with your individual giftedness, with your individual talents and bents, how can we, Gilbert Bible Church, be most useful to God for the sake of Christ? What are the attributes or the virtues that we should pursue to fortify ourselves or to enhance our usefulness for Christ? that we would be found faithful, that we would be found useful servants for his purposes, for the glory of Christ. Well, in our passage, we see the character of profitable servants. Paul starts with Timothy, and this is where we see the first distinguishing mark of a faithful servant for Christ. And that's number one, this first distinguishing mark is a sincere concern for others. Number one, a sincere concern for others. And we see this put before us in verses 19 through 21. If you remember, Paul is uncertain what the future holds for him. But as he considers the future possibilities of his own martyrdom as an added sacrifice to the Philippians' sacrificial life for Christ's sake and his present plans to come and to serve and tend to the realities of the needs, he shares with these beloved brothers and sisters, expressing his desire, what he longs for, what he hopes for, what his plans are, what he hopes for in regards to them. And in verse 19, Paul says he hopes in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to them shortly. He's not certain he will be able to send Timothy, but he has an ongoing, abiding hope to send Timothy, and his hope rests in Jesus Christ, in the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, he is to be the sphere of all of our hope, and while this may seem like a pious throwaway phrase that Paul uses, the reality is his hope being in Jesus was truly at the core of his heart. And everything that he did, his hope was always found in Christ. He always wanted whatever was going to happen before him to be approved by, to be under the will of Christ, to be for Christ, to be in accordance with Christ. One author put it this way: Jesus is both the center and the circumference of the circle of life for Paul. Jesus was everything for him. We saw that in chapter 1, right? To live is Christ, to die is gain, to be with Christ. All of life is about Christ. Jesus, as the Lord of his church, is at the core of his hope in the service of the church in Philippi, that they would be strengthened in their faith. And so Paul is hoping in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to them shortly. And it is with this purpose that Timothy may return back to him and give a report of their condition to Paul, that he would be encouraged by this report. And listen, he wanted to hear the specifics, but he had such a confidence in the work of Christ in these believers that the report would be positive. There's just a sweetness here that we again, see expressed in Paul and his affection for these believers in Philippi, a confidence in their faithfulness and devotion to Christ. He's certain, I want to send Timothy so that he might report back and I would be encouraged because you're found faithful. A little bit about Timothy. Now, by way of reminder, Paul first met Timothy on his second missionary journey in Lystra, which was Timothy's hometown. Timothy's father was a Gentile, that is a Greek, and seems mostly absent from his life, while his mother was a Jewish believer. And from the second missionary journey where they met to the end of Paul's ministry, we find Timothy to be Paul's right-hand man. I mean, he was a constant companion for Timothy, or for Paul. Constant companion. There was a tremendous affection that Paul had for Timothy. Paul calls Timothy his son in the faith. In 1 Corinthians 4. He's his close associate in the gospel in 2 Corinthians 1:19. And this statement in chapter 2, verses 20 and 21 is truly a remarkable statement about Timothy and a testimony to both his character and his usefulness in ministry. We would all be extremely blessed to have someone like this in our life, and we would all do well to be this kind of a companion to others. Timothy, it appears, was with Paul when he first arrived in Philippi, and so sending him to the Philippians would be to send somebody that they were familiar with. They knew already. They respected him. He'd been there during the founding of their church, and he's someone with authority and to be esteemed in light of his close relationship with the Apostle Paul. And there were specific virtues in Timothy that set him apart in his usefulness. And an explanation as to why Timothy, out of all of the people that Paul could send in this moment, why was he choosing Timothy? What set Timothy apart for this specific task that was clearly important and near and dear to Paul's heart. Paul wasn't going to just send anyone. He had purpose and intention, and those purposes were tied to the virtue of the servants who were to be particularly useful to fulfill the task at hand. So Paul desires to send Timothy to check on the Philippians and report back to him how they are doing. And Paul is confident that the specific report that will be brought back by Timothy will be one that is an encouragement to him. It'll be a positive report regarding their faithfulness. And then in verse 20, Paul gives the reason for which he sends Timothy specifically. Look again at verse 20 and 21. Paul says this, "For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus." Timothy was differentiated due to his selfless concern for others, and particularly the welfare of the Philippians. He shares this concern with Paul. Paul says there's no one else. That is, no one is on par with the shared concern they both have for the Philippians. Paul and Timothy are kindred spirits in this. That is literally equal in soul. Like-minded together, and in what? In genuine concern for their welfare. Timothy uniquely, just like Paul, has a burden to know how the Philippians are doing before the Lord. They share this concern for the Philippians, Timothy and his genuine concern for the Philippians' welfare, and that is particularly their spiritual welfare. At the heart level, he has a sincere love and care and affection for the Philippians. He truly cares about them, and this would have been so sweet of an encouragement to the Philippians, knowing the sincere love of Timothy for them. I mean, think about this commendation coming from the Apostle Paul in regards to Timothy's affection and care for them as brothers and sisters in Christ. And what sets Timothy apart in his unity with Paul regarding his love for the Philippians? Well, Paul tells us in verse 21, all the others seek after their own interests and not those of Christ Jesus. Timothy seeks after the interests of Christ Jesus. The others do not. And we don't know exactly who Paul is referencing here, but these individuals were not ultimately concerned with caring for the needs of others in the body of Christ. And the reason is because they were concerned with their own interests above and beyond the interests of others. This seems to be in line with those ministering the gospel out of spite or to bring harm for selfish reasons to Paul that we saw in chapter 1. Do you remember that? Timothy was distinctly unique in his shared concern, genuinely so, for the spiritual well-being of others. And it's clear that a sincere, heartfelt concern for others leads one to selfless service on their behalf. The degrees of service and sacrifice when you're more concerned for someone else over yourself is absolutely extreme. It's different. Listen, a brother in arms will willingly sacrifice himself to the point of death for a mission or for a fellow soldier. Someone who is serving under obligation with no regard for the cause, no care for fellow soldiers, simply won't make the same kind of sacrifices on the battlefield. So it is in our devotion to our Savior. For those of us who have what Paul has called the Philippians to in chapter 2, a concern for others above ourself, a consideration for others above ourself. The unique usefulness for that individual and what depths they're willing to do in sacrificial service for the glory of Christ and the good of his people will be different than those who consider their own needs above others. Those wishing to cause Paul harm in chapter 1, they were self-focused, and it seems all of the others available to Paul to send, they were caught up in their own personal desires and affairs and happenings, and it was a distraction for them, a hindrance for them from their care for others. As I mentioned before, this is exactly what is at the heart of what Paul has just instructed to the Philippians, to consider others' needs above their own, to humble yourself as Christ humbled himself. Whoever he's talking about isn't doing this as he's just instructed, yet Timothy does this. He exemplifies a consideration, a concerning of himself with the interests of others. And Paul equates this kind of consideration as a concerning yourself with the interests of Christ. Which is just staggering to think about that. To elevate your own personal needs and desires above the others is to disassociate or disconcern yourself with the interests of Christ, and yet to esteem the needs of others above your own is to concern yourself with the interests of Christ. And listen, there are inevitably things we must concern ourselves with regarding ourselves. This isn't a call to neglect your personal responsibilities. But does our concern for ourselves rise to the top and displace our concern for others or our willingness to sacrificially meet needs for those in the body? Timothy shared Paul's concern, a genuine concern. For the Philippians, and this heart-level concern led him to be available to serve and useful for ministry in unique ways. He was not only willing to go do a task, but his heart was filled with sacrificial love and genuine care for the needs of others, for their well-being. Why is Paul sharing this with the Philippians? Couldn't he have just kept this to himself and sent Timothy? Paul's giving credibility to Timothy as his fellow worker, but he is also, in his commendation of him and in his commending this virtue, implicitly instructing us through example. This is the practical outworking of what he's already instructed in chapter 2. This is a unique usefulness that Timothy possesses because of his virtue and this humble, self-giving concern and love for others. And Timothy's genuine concern, his sincere love and devotion for the well-being of others, meant he was willing and ready to go wherever Paul directed him. Wherever he was needed. Timothy didn't have a job description. And he would only function within that job description. Timothy didn't have an arena of service which he really felt comfortable in, and that was the area he would serve only. Timothy was ready to go. He was ready to do whatever was needed of him in ministry for the benefit of others. What drove him in ministry was not his own personal fulfillment or gratification or assessment of his giftedness and his skills and where he would be useful. He was eager to be used in whatever way God would call him for the purpose of benefiting others in the body of Christ. What a helpful model for us. He's ready to go wherever Paul would send him and do whatever Paul would need of him. And he was ready to give of himself in service of others, regardless of the cost. His concern was for the benefit of others. When we planted Gilbert Bible Church, and we looked at the various ministries that we'd be starting up as a church and the various needs within the body of Christ, we sent out an email. If you were here at the time, do you remember that email? And we said, let us know where you would like to serve. And we listed some categories of needs within the body. That was a train wreck for us. You know why? Because all of you were like, we'll serve wherever we're needed. We could serve here, we could serve here, we could serve here. Many of you put like 3 to 8 categories of where you were willing to serve. And we're going, we can't put them in all of those. It was quite a logistical puzzle because you possess this kind of heart. Where are we needed? Where's the need? You are just eager to be a part of this church and to be useful for the name of Christ, for the benefit of the body. What a blessing that was for us. I joke that it was a headache. It was not a headache. It was a blessing, an overwhelming blessing to see the eagerness. We sat with a couple in this church. Where would you like to serve? We will serve wherever you want, whatever there's a need. Just maybe not in this one way. And then they came back and said, we'll even do that, even though it was really uncomfortable for them. Just the sweetness of that kind of humility, that kind of readiness, that kind of eagerness to serve sacrificially. Praise the Lord for his grace and his work in your life. We've already looked at that, right? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you. Your obedience, your faithfulness, your diligence, your eagerness to serve is not a reflection of what you've conjured up inside of you. It's a reflection that God is at work in you, and praise him for that. That's what this church needs. What a joy to plant a church and be 6 months down the road and have so much sacrificial, eager service, so much readiness. Let's not let our foot off the gas. We need to continue in this. We need to persevere in this. We need to be steadfast in this. We need to excel still more in this. We need to think rightly about our service. And when we find ourselves disheartened, when we find ourselves lonely, when we find ourselves discouraged, listen, to do anything for Christ is a privilege. To be a blessing to others for the name and sake of Christ, who's worthy of such things? Not us, but for the grace of God. In our passage, we see in Timothy such an example of humble service. And this is the bar that we should aspire to rise to. This is the target we should aim for. This is the path that we should continue to walk in and continue to press forward and follow. Humility of mind has been set forth as the goal, and Timothy exemplifies this. As you examine your own life, how are you doing personally? Well, where can you give thanks to God for the work of his grace? And where does your thinking need to change, be adjusted, be grown? In life, in ministry, are you characterized by seeking your own personal interests? Or are you committed to seeking the interests, to being available to meet the needs and to benefit others? Have you put restrictions on where you're willing to serve or tasks you're willing to do for Christ's sake? I've done that for years. I'm above that now. I want to go do this thing. Or are you being driven by, where can I be the biggest blessing to others? There was a unique usefulness found in Timothy because of his concern, sincere, heartfelt concern for others. This isn't a willingness to do the lowly tasks simply out of a manufactured piousness. I'm going to do the lowly task so that others see me doing the lowly task so that they can see how humble I am. This is a unique usefulness because there's a genuine humility that's concerned for others above himself. What would lead somebody to sell their possessions, to get rid of their hunting bow, to give it away, to move across the country to be trained and equipped, to be taken out hunting only to not find any deer, to then go back to Florida to be sent out to Papua New Guinea to minister the gospel for the needs of those who wouldn't hear it unless somebody goes? A selfless concern for others. We have the benefit of having the Twombleys with us again this evening before they head back to Florida. What an example they are for us as well. And your sacrificial care and support and love, again, an example that is for us as well. Just think about the implications of this kind of heart, this kind of virtue in the body of Christ. A person who's not serving based off of their likes or dislikes or how it fits within their personal ambitions and desires, this kind of person isn't squeezing church into the margins of their life. They are concerned with the concerns of Christ. And so their life revolves around being available and being eager to meet the needs of others. They don't do all the things that their life demands for their own personal ambition, and then they serve people on the margins. This person centers their life on being useful for Christ through sacrificial service for the benefit of others, particularly spiritually. So the first distinguishing mark of a faithful servant for Christ is a sincere concern for others. Next, we see number two. The second distinguishing mark of a faithful servant is this: it's a steadfast devotion to the gospel. A steadfast devotion to the gospel. We see this in verses 20 through 24. Timothy was a man with a reputation. He has demonstrated faithfulness. He's been steadfast. He's endured hardship faithfully. He's been tested. He's been approved in his testing. Paul says in verse 22, look again, but you know of his proven worth. Here is why Timothy is valuable, why he's profitable, why he's useful for the sake of Christ. Why? Because why has he been such a help here? Why? You know of his proven worth. He served with me in the furtherance of the gospel. He has a track record, a steadfast devotion and commitment and usefulness in regards to the gospel, in the furtherance of the gospel. He served with me, that is Paul, in the furtherance of the gospel. Timothy was faithful. He was tested. He was proven. He demonstrated himself useful like a child serving his father. Timothy was faithful in his service alongside of Paul. His character was tested, and his worth was confirmed through faithfulness. Timothy had committed his very life to the progress and the furtherance of the gospel. This united Paul and Timothy in wonderful ways. Then in verse 23, Paul says, therefore, and this is because of Timothy's unwavering commitment and faithfulness to the furtherance of the gospel, he hopes to send him immediately as soon as I see how things go with me. And then verse 24, and I trust in the Lord that I myself will also be coming shortly. Paul is hoping he will be released soon from Rome. He's hoping that he'll be acquitted of the charges and able to come himself. But while he waits, he hopes to send Timothy. And why is Timothy the right man for the job or the best candidate for this job? Because of his unwavering steadfastness, his proven devotion to the gospel. And listen, you don't get here overnight. You don't prove your worth overnight. You don't demonstrate your faithfulness in one moment. This is being faithful day in and day out. Be faithful. Be faithful in little, and let the Lord grow your responsibility over time as he gives you more, as you express your faithfulness. Don't let your usefulness be hindered because of neglect of your character. Be the right kind of person for whatever the task is. Whatever task is before you, let the reason you don't do it not be because of selfishness or not be because of a lack of integrity. Let it not be for a lack of diligence or a lack of readiness to serve. Each one of us should aspire and pursue a life of faithfulness, a life of proven worth for the furtherance of the gospel, so that whatever need arrives, we're positioned in a way and our character is such that we wouldn't be disqualified by those things. We must be faithful in our commitment to the gospel. Don't think down the road, I'll be more committed when this season of life passes. It's a really full season. I'm in school full time. Once I get through this, then I'll really pursue the Lord faithfully. Then I'll really make myself available to serve the Lord. And then you get married. I'm a newlywed. Once I kind of get this figured out, then I'll really pursue Christ. And then you have a baby and then your whole life gets different and you're like, okay, I'm not sleeping. Once I sleep again, then I'll be devoted to Christ. Then I'll be faithful in furtherance of the gospel. Right now, I just need to focus on these things. No. Whatever season you're in, whatever capacity you have, concern yourself and be faithful in whatever is before you. And be committed to the progress of the gospel in whatever sphere the Lord has you in. What are you committed to? Is evangelism intentional proclamation, sharing of the gospel on your mind and heart? Is the gospel going forth a regular part of your life? Listen, we have in our fellowship groups the question that we regularly ask in our core question time. How is God using you in the process of evangelism? How is God using you to build his kingdom? Why? Because we each have an obligation before the Lord to be active in the proclamation and the furtherance of the gospel of Christ. And even if we didn't, which we do, why would we want to keep silent? It's the best news anybody could ever hear and know. Salvation through faith in Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and freedom from the righteous wrath of God that each one of us deserves in eternity with fellowship with the holy creator of the heavens and the earth? Yeah. Did you see the game last week? I'd rather talk about that. Shame on us if that's the case. We're part of a young church, Gilbert Bible Church. You came because you wanted to see a local faithful church in your local community. How do you expect Gilbert Bible Church to grow? The best way for Gilbert Bible Church to grow is new converts coming to Christ through the faithful proclamation of you and me in our community. We need to be faithful with the gospel. How sweet would it be to look 3, 5, 10 years down the road and to be able to have an account given, look at their proven worth in the furtherance of the gospel. How might God be pleased to grow this church to further his gospel message and work through a church that is committed and faithful to this? There may be a temptation to look at this passage and say, well, that was Timothy. I mean, that's Paul's son in the faith, a super, super Christian. I'm never going to be a Timothy like him. I'm never going to be a missionary pastor like Timothy. How does this intersect with me? Really, is the bar that high for me as well? Listen, Timothy was saved by the same grace that saved you and me. We may not be used in the same way that Timothy was, but let it not be because of neglect to these virtues. We should have a sincere concern for others, and we should have an unwavering, faithful devotion to the gospel. God used Timothy in extraordinary ways. We don't know how God will use each one of us, but we can know that we will be most useful when we are sincere in our concern for others, when we're selfless, having self-giving sacrificial love and care for others above ourselves, and when we are steadfast in our devotion to the gospel, faithful to hold fast the gospel, to hold forth the gospel, to proclaim the gospel in whatever context the Lord has us. I've had conversations before with someone who believed God was calling them to the missionary field. God's called me to be a missionary, to go share the gospel with the lost. And I remember asking that person, tell me what your missionary endeavors look like today. Oh, I've never shared the gospel with somebody. What? What's going to be different there? Be faithful here. Go share the gospel with people. Tell people the truth. Get to work for the sake of Christ. Each one of us should be eager to want to be faithful. We should be eager to want to be useful for our Savior. And we have wonderful examples here in once again, praise God for what he has done in your lives already. To be a part of this work is an expression of obedience to, again, what is taught through example here. Praise God for that. Let us spur one another on and excel still more. Next week, we'll look at the next two virtues of a useful servant for Christ's sake. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. How rich is your word? Lord, thank you for faithful men and women that have gone before us and have exemplified this type of virtue. Thank you for Timothy and the work that you did in him and his particular usefulness for the furtherance of the gospel and for the benefit of the body of Christ. And Lord, thank you for these men and women and the way that they serve sacrificially and the way that they proclaim your good news boldly. Help us to excel still more. Where there is a pricking of the conscience, I pray that you would produce change and growth. Where there's encouragement, Lord, I pray that we would remember that that only comes from you. And so I pray that that encouragement would lead us to worship and gratitude to you. Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us to be impactful for the name of Christ. Thank you for the privilege that it is. You could do everything that you desire to do apart from us, but in your kindness, you allow us to enter into your work for your purposes. I pray that we would be eager to be useful for you. And that would give us a unique zeal and passion for godliness that would translate into unique usefulness for your purposes. And we ask for Christ's glory and in Christ's name, we pray, amen.
All right, let's stand and